Okay, we're going to begin here on Yud Gamo Amud Bet by the Mishnah at the bottom. A Korah she'amru rachva kedei lekabel ariach. The board that's used, the Korah, to demarcate, delineate the mavui, has to be wide enough to hold up an ariach. What's an ariach? V'ariach chatzil levena shel shloshat tfachim. Ariach is half a brick, and a brick whose standard is 3 tfachim. So half a brick would be 1.5 tfachim, so it's got to be able to hold up a brick that is 1.5 fachim. So daya the korah shetei rachva tefach. That's enough that the korah is a tefach wide. Kedei the kabel ariach. In order to accept this brick, or half brick, that is 1.5 tefachim. The gemara, first question of the gemara will be, wait, you just said 1.5, why are we back at 1? Leorko. That's along the width of the board. So you take the length of the brick and you lay it across the width of the board. If the length of the brick is 1.5, it's laying across the width of the board, which is 1 tefach. Or the other girsa in the Mishnah is the rachbo. Now the way Rashi explains that the width of the ariach is matched up with the width of the board. The width of the ariach is 1.5 tefachim, and the width of the board is 1 tefach. Rachba kedei lekabel ariach, ubriya kedei lekabel ariach. Not only does it have to be wide enough to accept the brick, it has to be strong enough to accept the brick. So not enough that it's wide, but it also has to be thick enough that if you place this half brick on top of it, it would not collapse under the weight of the brick. All you need is the width. You do not need the underlying strength in the board to hold up the brick. If it was made out of straw or reeds, we assume that it was made out of metal. And if a metal board could hold it up, then we'd be fine with using these materials, even though these materials themselves cannot hold up the weight of an ariach, of half a brick. Akuma, if it's bent, roi notoki ilhi pshuta, as if it is straight. Here, bent, according to most of the Rishonim, means on an angle. If the Korah is on an angle, we look at it as if it was straightened out. And if it was straightened out, and it would fit across the mavui, that is fine. Agula, if it's round, roi notoki ilhi mirubat. We look at it as if it is squared out. So if you take a circle and you inscribe a square into the circle, then you have to have the inscribed square meet the requirements of a Korah. If you were going to plane the log and make it into a board, the board's got to fit inside of this log. Kol sheyesh behekifo shlosha tefachim, yesh bo rochav tefach. So this is what's otherwise known as pi. Anything that has a circumference of 3 tefachim has a diameter of 1 tefach. Perimeter of a circle is determined by pi d, pi times the diameter. Here, the Mishnah is using 3 as the number for pi. We'll get into more detail with that in the Gemara in a second. 3 times the 1 will give you the 3, that is the circumference of the circle. Tefach, the Gemara goes, why would you need a tefach across? Tefach umechzabai. You just said that the brick is 1.5 tefachim long, and now you're telling me the Korah only has to be 1 tefach? What happened here? Kevan derach of the kabel tefach. Since it's wide enough to hold a tefach, idach chatzi tefach, mal bin lei betino, mashu mihai gisa, u mashu mihai gisa, v'kaimu, and it won't be a problem. So if you take this brick that's 1.5 wide, and you place it across a board that is a tefach wide, so you'll have a half tefach in excess. You put a quarter tefach on each side. That little excess, you can put in the cement or the plaster on an angle, and attach it to the board that is 1 tefach long. If you make it on an angle, the plaster underneath, and you plaster it in, that little excess will sit on the board without any problem and will not move. Amar Rabba Bar Ravuna, Korah she'amru, tzricha shtei bria, kedei lekabel ariach, umamidei korah, einan tzrichim shiyu brin, kedei lekabel korah ve'ariach. The korah itself has to be strong enough that it would hold up the brick. The half brick that is placed on it, it has to have enough strength to hold that type of weight on top of it. But those items that are holding up the board, meaning the fasteners, the pegs, whatever bracket is holding up the board to the walls of the mavui or the top of the mavui, in that case, they do not need to be strong enough to hold up both the board, the korah, and the ariach. They don't have to be strong enough. Rashi explains the difference. Because of a korah hud bin and kvi'ut. By the Korah, we need it to be fixed, of permanence, so that it is a good heker, so it's a noticeable item. So you want it to be strong enough and big enough so that it's visible, but also something that remains there. On the other hand, the mamidim, or the mamidah, the brackets that are holding it up, They're only functional in nature. They don't have any purpose besides being the function of holding up the board. So if they're sufficiently strong to hold up the board, even though they can't hold up the board and the brick, we don't worry about that, because they are not necessary in the sense of heker, of the sense of what the Korah is doing. They're only functional in holding up the Korah. So as long as they can hold up the Korah, we're fine with that. Rav Chista disagrees. They both have to be strong enough. Meaning the board has to be strong enough to hold up the half brick, and the brackets or the pegs or whatever is holding up the board has to be strong enough to hold up the board with the half brick on top of it. Amar Rav Sheshet. He niach korah agavei mavui, uparas seleah mechatzelet. Person puts a board across the top of the mavui, and then, equivalent of putting your laundry on the line, he throws a mat, a reed mat, over the board. So it's hanging over the board. Now, the reed mat, but it doesn't reach the ground. V'gviya min hakarka shlosha. It's 3 tfachim off the ground. It doesn't reach the ground, this mat. Then, korah enkan, mechitza enkan. You have nothing. You don't have a korah now, and you don't have a mechitza. Korah enkan da michsia, because it's covered. The whole purpose of the korah is to be visible as a heker. When it's covered over by the reed mat, it's no longer visible. If it's not visible, then it's not functioning like a korah. So what do you say? Now I have a wall. I have this sheet that's hanging down. So that should be a mechitza, and that should suffice over here. That's not true either. Because mechitza enkan, davila mechitza she'agdim bukim ba. It's a mechitza which a kid could get under. A kid from the sense of goat, not a child. The kids could stick under. It's also a din that we find by sukkah, that if you have a wall of a sukkah that's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, the mechitza is not considered to be a mechitza if a gedi can get underneath it. Let's say gediim bogimba. This is a mechitza tuya, it's a hanging mechitza, and therefore if it's off the ground by more than 3 tefachim, the assumption is that the gedi can get under, and it's no longer a functional mechitza.
Put the mat there, of course you know it's
something. Right. The heker is, has to be something unusual. Here they just think you're hanging a sheet at the entrance. It's not something that's unusual. We want something that is designated purely for heker purposes, not functional purposes. Over here, the Quran now becomes functional to hold up the mat. It's not working as a heker anymore. So you want it to be something that is, in a sense, useless. That it doesn't do anything, and that's why it's a heker. If it's functioning to do something, then it's not a heker anymore. Tanur Banan, Quran, Hayutza Mikotel Zeh, Ve'eno gat bekotel zeh. You have a korah that extends from one end, but doesn't reach the other end. V'chein shtei korot, achat yotza mikotel zeh, v'achat yotza mikotel zeh. You have two boards, they're both extending from the wall, ve'eno gat, zubazuba, they don't meet in the middle. There's a gap between them in the middle. V'chot mishlosha, if it's less than 3 tefachim away, ain't tzarich lavi korah acheret. Then you have to bring another board there. Shlosha, if it's more than 3 apart, tzarich lavi korah acheret. There's something already that we've seen earlier in the perek, which is that if the board is on one side and does not reach the other side, meaning it's less than 3 tefachim away from the other side, it's considered as if it meets the wall on the other side, and then it's a good korah. The same thing with 2 korot extending from the sides, they don't meet in the middle. There's a gap of less than 3 tefachim, they're considered to be a single korah going across. If not, then you have to place another korah there or on top of them, so that connects the 2 boards together. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, as we saw before, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that anytime you have this din of lavud, the din of lavud is not 3 tefachim, but rather 4 tefachim. And that's what he says here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, pachot midalad, ain tzarich lavi korah acheret. You don't need another korah. Arba, if it's 4 tefachim, then tzarich lavi korah acheret. Then you do need a korah acheret over here. Again, it probably should be arba'a, not arba, because we're talking about tfachim here, not amot. V'chein bet korot hamatimot. Lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach. You have 2 boards that are parallel, but each board independently cannot hold up a brick or a half brick. So each one by itself is not sufficient to hold up a half brick. It's not wide enough. It's not strong enough. Whatever the reason is that it can't hold up the brick, but imekablot ariach l'rochbo tefach ain't tzarich levi korah acheret. If together they can hold up a brick, a half brick across them, then that's fine. The 2 korot can function as 1 korah. V'imav, if they don't have that ability, tzarich levi korah acheret, then you need a new korah. It's important here to distinguish. It's not that they are bringing the 2 boards that are parallel adjacent to each other and there's no gap between them anymore. If there's no gap between them anymore, and they add up to a tefach, that's pashut, that it would work, because why is that different than 1 board that's a tefach wide? What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that even though there's a space between the boards, And together with the space, you would now have a tefach across, and the brick can sit on it. That works. So for instance, if the boards themselves are only a quarter tefach each, and then the space between them is a half tefach, then if you could lay the ariach across them, because you now have a tefach including the airspace between them, that would work and that's sufficient. So they don't have to be exactly adjacent, they just have to be close enough that they form a tefach wide between the two of them, including the airspace, and they are sufficiently strong to hold up the ariach, the half brick. If you can accept a ariach based on its length, shlosha, which is three tefachim, then you do not have to bring another korah. So even though it cannot hold it l'rachbo, across its width, because it's too narrow, the board is too narrow to hold up a brick, you would need another board or a wider board to hold up the brick. Nevertheless, if lengthwise it can hold up the brick lengthwise, which is the three tefachim, then that's enough. Then that korah is sufficiently strong or big enough, or whatever you want to call it, in order that it will be called or defined as a korah. So what we have done until now is that we put the width of the ariach, which is 1.5 tefachim, across the width of the board. So here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if that doesn't work, then we do have another test, which is three tefachim, if it can hold across the length of the brick, the width of the korah, and that holds up, then that's fine, that's sufficient, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows for a wider gapping between the two boards to still be kosher, because the Tanakhama says that two boards have to be within a proximity that you can fit on the width of an ariach, which is 1.5 tefachim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that they have to be within proximity that you can fit the length of an ariach on there, which is 3 tefachim. So he allows for a larger gap between the boards to still have them be classified as a single korah. Achat tamalo v'achat tamato. One of the boards is up and one of the boards is down. So until now we spoke about these two boards being parallel and on the same plane. What happens if you have these two boards? They are parallel, but not on the same plane. One is higher up, one is lower down. Rashi says the mamidei korah, that the pegs are one's higher, one's lower, which will result in one of the boards being higher and the other board being lower. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudomer, ro'in et el yuna ki hilu hilamato. We look at the upper one as if it's brought down. Ve'tachtona ki hilu hilamalo. And the one that's down, we look at as if it's up. So we basically say, if they are parallel, and they're not on the same plane, we view them as if they are on the same plane. Ubilvad, shalote el yona la malamikafama. As long as the upper board is not above the maximum height of a mavui, which is 20 amot. Vitachtona la matamiasara. And the bottom board is above the minimum height of a mavui, which is 10 tefachim. So they have to sit within the mavui, which means above 10 tefachim, below 20 amot. As long as they're within that space, it works.
And it doesn't matter how big the gap is.
Correct. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savarla ki avua bechado, paligalei bechado. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father in one instance, and not in the other instance. Savarla ki avua bechado, he holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, ditlei roin. He says, we look at it as if. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, the board does not have to be strong enough to hold up a brick. We look at it as if it is metal. We look at it as if the board is metal, and then we determine if it was metal, but it would have been strong enough, then that is sufficient. So we say it's as if. We look at it as if. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda does the same thing over here. We look at the boards as if they are on the same plane. So that he follows the position of his father. Rabbi Yehuda savar l'mala mi'asrim. Rabbi Yehuda believes that even above 20 amot, Biosi Rabbi Yehuda savar betoch kaf in the malami kaf lo. Biosi Rabbi Yehuda says the board must be within the 20 amot to be classified on the same plane, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who said, even above 20 amot, you don't have to yima'et. You don't have the din of reducing it from the first Mishnah, which is that you don't have to take it down below the 20 amot. It's fine or no problem above 20 amot. So now he has one position of his father, which is ro'in. He doesn't subscribe to the other position of his father, which is that 20 amot is not the limit of a mavui. Okay, now, matni le Rabbi Yehuda l'chia barav. So Rabbi Yehuda, we've had a number of these stories here, which was that Rabbi Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav, was teaching Rav's son, or going over the Mishnayot with him, Kamei de Rav, and Rav was present while he was doing this. Rachba, afal pi she'ena briya. He says that if it's wide, even though it's not strong enough. So Amalei, Atniyai, changed that, amend that to read, Rachba ubriya, that it is wide and strong enough. Question is, what happened here? Our Mishnah has two opinions in it. Our Mishnah has the opinion of the Tanakhama, The Tanakhama says that it has to be rachba, it has to be wide enough, which is one tefach wide. Ubriya, it has to be strong enough to hold up the brick. Rabbi Yehuda says it simply has to be rachba, it has to be rachba tefach, but ain't a briya. But it doesn't have to be strong enough to hold it up. That's our Mishnah. Now we have Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav, telling over the Mishnah, the Chir by Rav, Rav's son. And in that Mishnah, he quotes and says, rachba afal pish ain't a briya. That's what he states. And Rav corrects him and says, no, it should be rachba ubriya. The only problem is we don't know who Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about. What was he speaking about? So the Rashbam says, he's saying that in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, Rachba ve'ina briya. Rav came and told him he meant it and say, no, Rachba u'briya. And therefore, the conclusion for that would be, there is no machloket. No longer a machloket in the Mishnah because the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda now say the same thing. Tosafot does not like that explanation because the remainder of the Mishnah then makes no sense. What do you have all this other information about if it's kash, if it's kanim, all these things? Doesn't seem to fit, doesn't seem to work so well. So therefore, he offers an alternative that Rabbi Yehuda flipped the positions of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. He mixed them up. He got them confused. And he said the position of Rabbi Yehuda in the Rabbanon and the position of Rabbanon in Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Tosafot doesn't love this because here you only have an emendation of one of the opinions. If it was true that he switched them, you have to switch both of the opinions. So then we have the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rabbeinu Tam makes a suggestion here. He argues on his brother, the Rashbam, his older brother. The Rabbeinu Tam is the younger brother. The Rashbam actually taught his younger brother, Rabbeinu Tam. And many places in Shas, the Rabbeinu Tam himself argues on his older brother. You see that in Tosafot. So here, again, he argues on his older brother and says that in the Mishnah, when Rav Yehuda was quoting the Mishnah, he's quoting it in the Shita of the Rabbanon, the Tanakhama. And in the Tanakhama, he said, Rachba ve'ena bria. And Rav says, no, switch it, and it should read Rachba u'bria, like our Mishnah reads, the way that our Mishnah reads. Rav Yehuda quoted our Mishnah incorrectly. We'll call it, he had the Rabbanon's opinion being Rachba ve'ena bria. Rav comes and corrects him and says, no, the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon is Rachba u'bria, the same way that we find it in our Mishnah. And therefore, Tosfot points out, the Rabbeinu Tam points out, we paskin like Rav in this case. Because Rav has this emendation that says that it's Rachba Ubriya, and that's what's written in the Mishnah. As opposed to the first Mishnah in our Perek, the first Mishnah in our Perek says that if it is a Tzurat HaPetach, and it exceeds the Shi'urim that you need, 10 Amot wide, 20 Amot high, Eino Mimayit, you do not have to reduce it. A Tzurat HaPetach is fine, it overcomes that problem. Rav, in this same scenario, said, Atnie, change it to Yimayit. You must reduce it. The Tzurat HaPetach is governed by the same rules of 10 Amot wide and 20 Amot high. That's what Rav says. That's what it says. Our Mishnah doesn't read that way. So what do you see? The Halacha is like Rav in this case, because the Mishnah follows Rav's opinion, meaning the emendation was accepted, and that's what's in the Mishnah, as opposed to the first Mishnah in the Perek, which is against Rav's emendation, and therefore we don't paskin like Rav there, because the Mishnah's Lashon was not accepted, or Rav's explanation or emendation of the Mishnah was not accepted in that case, and therefore the Lacha is not like Rav in that case. Rav Rabbi Yilai Amar Rav, Rachba Arba'a, Afal Pi Sheina Briya. Rabbi Yilai, in the name of Rav, says that it can be four Tfachim wide, even though it's not solid enough to hold up a brick. Rachba arba, shiny. Once you hit four tefachim wide, you're in a different world. Four tefachim wide is already significant without the strength of the board to make it significant. The fact that it's four tefachim wide already is enough to make it into a korah that has a heker, that has staying power. So once you hit that threshold of four tefachim, it no longer has to be briah, and even Rav agrees to that, and supposedly the Tanakhama, the Rabbana would agree to that. When do you need it to be bria? That's when it's sub four tefachim. When it's below four tefachim, then you need it to be strong enough in order to make the korah have that sense of heker. Okay, haita shokash. This is your question, Josh. My kamash malan. What is this teaching us? Rabbi Yehuda says that it doesn't have to be bria. Okay, so you know the information now. Now all of a sudden it's telling us, oh, if it's straw or it is reeds, then you look at it as if it's metal. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda just said. Rabbi Yehuda said, ain't a bria works. So, my kamashman, damrin and rowin, hainuach. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda just said, that we look at it as if it's strong enough. So, ma de tema, bimina amrinan, shalo bimina lo amrinan kamashmalan. I would think that if you use a material that has sufficient strength in it, if it was wide enough or thick enough to hold up the half brick, then even if that material now does not have that ability, since within its class it could do that, It would be sufficient. But straw. Straw could never hold up a half a brick. No matter what you do with the straw up there, it's never going to hold up a brick. So maybe over there we don't say roin, because you're using a material that no matter what you do with it can never hold up a brick. Mashmalan, that we look at it as if it is metal. So even though it's not a material that can create a korah that would hold up half a brick, nevertheless, it's okay to use because we view it as if it is metal. And that's the addition of the Mishnah beyond what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eina Briya is okay. Beyond that, he says, Eina Briya, even in a material that can't do this, it's still okay. Akuma ruin ota ki'ilu hi pshuta. If it's bent, we look as if it is straight. Again, pshita, what's the question here? Because the Korah is there for a heker, and just because it's akuma doesn't mean it's not going to be a heker. Kamash malon ki Rabbi Zeira teaches us the din of Zeira. Dam Rabbi Zeira, hi betocha mavui, va'ak mumita chutz de mavui. You have here a korah that's going across, and in the middle of the korah, you have this semicircle that extends out. You have a semicircle that extends out of the middle of the korah, but that semicircle goes out of the mavoi. It extends beyond the mavoi. Or, he betoch esrim, the board is within the esrim ama, vak mimunuta lamalam esrim, it's above esrim. So the curve, or there's like a little arch in the board, and that arch goes above the 20 amot. He lamalam yasara. The board itself is above the minimum of 10 tefachim. Vak mimuta lamatam yasara, or in the curve, in the board, goes below the 10 tefachim. Ro'in kol sh'ili natel ak mimuta, ve'in bazel lezeh shlosha. If the airspace of the arch, or the semicircle here, is less than 3 tefachim, ein tzarich levi korah acharet. You don't need another korah. It's the equivalent of what we saw before, putting two boards. You have two boards across. If they are less than 3 tefachim away from each other, then it works. So here, just because it has this outlet or this curve in it, doesn't detract from the korah, because it's within 3 tefachim, the edges of the korot are within 3 tefachim each other. So the fact that it has this curvature in the middle doesn't have any bearing on the korah, even though that curvature is outside of the normal range of a mavoi. That means above 20 amot, below 10 tefachim, or outside the front of the mavoi. So where it says, hanami pshita. That's also simple. Just as we explained it now, it's the equivalent of the two korot that we saw above. If you had two korot and the three less than 3 tefachim away, then it's sufficient. So why over here would it be any different? So Gemara says, "Hi v'toch mavui vak mumita chutz lemavui yitzrichalei." This is the case. So this is what it's teaching us, that even though you have the korah at the front end of the mavui and the semicircle extends beyond the mavui, there ma'udatim I would have thought lichush dilma atilim shulchei batra. I would think the whole purpose of the korah is to be a heker, to know where the stopping or the end of the mavui is. So now all of a sudden in the middle of this korah, you have this curvature that goes out. People might think that they're going to walk beyond that. They can go to the end of the curvature there, which is outside the mavoi. So that's what I would have thought. It wouldn't work there. Kamash Malan, that it does work in that case, despite the fact that it is extending beyond the mavoi because it's less than 3 tefachim away from each other. It's less than 3 tefachim. We don't consider it to be significant. We consider it as if the boards are connected. And if there's a solid board across, and that is the heker, and that will be the end point of the mavoi, and we don't worry about the fact that it extends, or a portion of it extends beyond. Kamash Malon, that's what it's teaching us. Okay, agula, ruinota ki iluhi mirubat. If it's circular, we look at it as if it is squared off. So here we have the din of pi that we got from the Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara wants to know. Hatu lamali. What do I need this for? It says, seifah tzrichalei. I need it from the seifah. It should be obvious that if you can fit the board into the circular, if you have a log, and the log, if it was carved out, would form a board, why should there be a problem? We don't need a board here. We just need a heker. And if there's a log there that suffices to be the same size as a korah, then why shouldn't it work? So it says, we need the last piece of the Mishnah, which is the din that it teaches us. Kol sheyesh behekifo gimel tvachim. Anything that has a circumference of 3 tvachim, yesh bo rochav tefach, has a diameter of 1 tefach. Again, pi being equal to 3. Menahani milet. Where do we know this from? Where is the din of pi learned from? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra. It's an explicit pasuk in Melachim. Vayas et hayam mutzak. He made the yam. The yam was a large cauldron, a large receptacle for water. And this yam was eser be'ama. 10 amot misfato ad sfato. From edge to edge, the diameter of this was 10 amot. Agol saviv. It's circular on the top. That's how we know it was a diameter, the 10 amot. V'chamesh be'ama komato. And its height, or the depth of the cauldron, or this large receptacle, is 5 amot deep. V'kav Shloshim ba'ama yasov oto saviv. And if you take a string and you put it around the circumference of the top, you get 30 amot. So if the diameter is 10 and the circumference is 30, then you have a relationship of 3 to 1. And that's where we know this din of pi. It says, va'ikas fato. What about the rim? The rim itself, which the Navi later on says is a tefach wide. It's a tefach wide, the rim. Then what happens to that tefach? You have the diameter now that extends, the internal diameter being 10 amot. And the circumference is taking the outer circumference, which includes the 10 amot diameter plus the tefach wide of the rim around. So it's two tefachim, a tefach on each side. So the diameter is actually a little more. It's 10 and two tefachim. And you're still getting a 30 tefach circumference. Amar Rav Papa, sfato, sfat perach shoshan, div bay. It's a type of rim or brim that is like the perach shoshan, like the flower of the lily, which is dichtiv velvio tefach. Its edges are a tefach tip. Usfato, its edge, the rim, when you get to the top, kima'asei, there's a word missing here from the pasuk, sfat kos perach shoshan. That is like the edge of a lily on the top, by a kos of a lily, which is extremely thin. So while the actual walls of this receptacle were a tefach thick, when it reached the top, the rim, it beveled to the point that it was like a lily, like extremely thin. So it did not impact on the measurements of diameter to circumference. Alpayim bat yachil. It holds 2,000 bat, which the Gemara will come back to later. Where it says, v'ika mashu. There's still a mashu difference between them, which is that you have this 10 amot of diameter, and then a mashu on each side, and then you're still seeing the circumference is 30 amot. What about the mashu? Right. So, very good. Kika choshi mi gavai kachoshi. The Gemara has an easy solution. It's an internal measurement, which is, so inside internal measurements, the diameter is 10 amot, and the internal circumference is 30 amot, which is the right relationship, 3 to 1. Tosafot already raises the issue right here, and it's a very interesting Tosafot, because it says, mashmash cheshbon mitzumtzam. The Gemara thinks they have some sort of exact measurement. They're worried about this mashu in the measurement, as if they've got the right number for pi. And Tosafot says, v'kasha, deina cheshbon medugdak lefi chachmei amidot. Don't tell anybody. Tosfos is bringing in information from outside the Gemara and saying that pi does not equal 3. And the Gemara doesn't have an exact calculation here. So there's a estimate or a disconnect, right, between what pi is and the number used by the Gemara. And the problem Tosfos has is not the 3. He would have agreed, had the number 3 been used, that it was just an estimate, a rough estimate of pi, which would have been fine. The problem is that the Gemara then asks the question about the Mashahu, as if they have some sort of exact calculation. And that's where Tosfot has a problem. Not with the fact that 3 could have been an estimate, he has a problem that the Gemara seems to think that they have an exact measure, and we know that that's not the measure. 3 is not the measure, little less than 3 is not the measure. We know that the measure is above that. And Tosfot, there's a Tosfot later on in the Masechta also that does the same thing, and shows that there's a problem. There's a beautiful gra on the Pasuk here in Sefer Melachim. The pasuk says, v'kav svato, says that the kav, the string that goes around the circumference, is 30 amot. In the kri, it's written kav, kuf, vav. In the ktiv of the pasuk, it says kuf, vav, hey, which is with the hey, which we don't pronounce in the ktiv. The gra says, if you take the kuf, vav, hey, the gematria is 111. You take the kav, the way it's written, is 106. If you take 111 divided by 106 and multiply it by 3, you get 3.1415. The Gra says, that's the cheshbon of pi, and he gets it from this pasuk. So now, we're going to have a little more work here to do, and get your geometry out. Tanya Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia is a bright. Yam shasa Shlomo, the yam that Shlomo made, machzik mea v'chamishim mikveh tara. So you can hold 150 mikvaot. What's interesting here is that the pasuk in Melachim doesn't discuss it, but the pasuk in Divrei Yamim says that the Kohanim used to be rochets, that they used to go and bathe inside of this cauldron, so that it was used for tevilah, which is interesting. Anyway, here he says that there are 150 mikvaot can fit inside. So let's work this. Michte, mikveh kamahavi. What's the size of a mikveh? A mikveh is 40 sa'ah. 40 sa'ah. Kidetanya, we have a braita. We already quoted this once in the Masachet already. It says, virachatz b'mayim et kol bisaro. So, rachatz b'mayim b'mei mikveh. What does it mean b'mayim? It has to be water that is collected. Et kol bisaro, mayim shekol gufo oleh bahen. water that is sufficient that his entire body can fit into them. V'kamehin, how much is that? That we have a mesorah for, which is, it's a volume that is an amah, al anamah, an amah wide by an amah long, v'rom shlosh amot, three amot high, v'shiaru chachamim, and the chachamim determined, make mikveh arbeim sa'ah, 40 sa'ah. So to contain 40 sa'ah, you need a mikveh that is an amah by an amah, by three amot high. So if you simply do the volumetric calculation here, then we'll know that there's a problem. I'll do it and then the Gemara will do it its way. We'll do it. Simply, if you have a mikveh that is 1 by 1 by 3, the volume of the mikveh is 3 amot cubed. So you have 3 amot cubed. 150 mikvahot gives you 450 cubic amot that you need. The Gemara is going to start with the premise that we have here a cube that is formed here. They're going to ignore the fact that the yam was actually circular in nature. So let's start with it as a square. If you start with it as a square, the diameter of the yam was 10 amot. That means that the length and the width are 10 by 10, which is 100, and it's 5 deep, which is 500 amot. So the Gemara says, I have 500 amot of volume, and mikvaot, if I take them and say 150 mikvaot, that gives me 450 cubic amot of volume. And it doesn't match. And that's the starting point, and that's what we're going to do in the Gemara right now. Which is, kama avalu chamesh mea garmide. What's the size of the yam? It's 500 cubic amot. Again, the way we did it, 10 by 10 times 5 gives you 500 cubic amot. Litzalat mea, if you take 300 of them, the way that the Gemara does this is it breaks it down. It says, I have these 3 cubic amot, gives you a mikveh. So now, if I take 300 of the amot of the cube that makes up the yam, so if I take it 3 high by 10 by 10, I get 300 amot. Within that 300 amot, mea, you could fit 100 mikvot. Because that is the equivalent of 1 by 1 by 3 times 100. L'meya v'chamshin. Then for the remaining 150, chamshin. Then you get 50 mikvot. Again, if you take 3 by 1 by 1, and then you multiply that by the amot divided by 3, you'll get 50 mikvot. Every mikvah requires 3 times the amount of cubic amot than you want. If you want 50 mikvot, you have to multiply it by 3, you get 150. So you say, okay, we have 150 amot, and we have 300 amot. That's 450. We enough with 450 amot. My answer is hani mile biribua. That's when you're talking about a cube. The yam is not a cube. It's actually a cylinder. Yam shasash malo agulaya. It was circular. It's a cylinder. So a cylinder, what is the volume of a cylinder? The volume of a cylinder is basically the area of the circle multiplied by the height. Because it's basically stacking up discs on top of each other. A cube, you're stacking up squares on top of each other. So you take the area of the square, which is the length times the width, and then you multiply it by the height, and you get the cubic volume. By a cylinder, you're basically taking discs. What's the area of a circle? Pi r squared. So pi r squared would be the area of the circle, and then you multiply it by the height. That gives you the stacked height. Now, the Gemara says something, and it happens to be true, but Rashi calculates and it does it incorrectly, which is michte. Kama meruba yeter al igul. How much does a square exceed a circle? Here the Gemara says revia. A quarter. We know that when the Gemara says revia means milabar, it means 1/3. Now Rashi does the calculation, but he does not do the calculation with area, but rather he does the calculation with perimeter. And that's a problem. The Gemara in Sukkah and Tafchet has there with Rabbi Yochanan and the Rabbanan de Kezari a similar mistake that is made there in the Gemara where they try to apply a principle of perimeter to area. And Rashi does the same thing over here, which is, I'll show you that a square exceeds a circle by 4/3, which is that by 1/3. How is that? If I take the perimeter of a square, the perimeter of a square is 4x. Whatever the diameter, whatever the length of the width is, then I take 4 times that, I get the perimeter. If I take a circle and I look at the circumference of the circle, I take the diameter, which is x, and I take 3 times that, pi is 3x. So Rashi says, you see that a square exceeds the circle by 4/3, by 1/3. The problem is that perimeter is not relevant to this calculation. What is relevant to this calculation is the area and not the perimeter. So Rashi does the calculation perimeter, but it turns out by area it works as well. Because when you're dealing with a square, what is the area of a square? Area of a square would be x squared. X squared because we're taking the length and the width, And the length times the width over here is the same. So it'd be x squared. The height will not matter because the height of this cube and the height of the cylinder are the same. So we can drop height out of the calculation. So all we need to know is what's the relationship between the area of the square and the area of the circle. So the area of the square we determined already is x squared. What is the area of the circle? Pi r squared. Now pi r squared is, according to the Gemara, pi is 3. R is half of the diameter, or half x squared. Half x squared is a quarter, because half squared is a quarter. So what it'll end up being is, at 3 a quarter, x squared is the area of the circle. So if I take x squared over 3 quarters x squared, what do you do when you have a fraction divided by a fraction? You flip the fraction. So it's 4/3 x squared. You drop the x squared, it's 4/3. So it does work for area as well. Rashi does not do that calculation, but it does work that the area of the square will exceed the area of this circle by 1/3. Now you multiply it by height, and it'll have, I mean, the height is the same for both of them. So you'll end up having it be that the cubic volume of a cube is 1/3 greater than the cubic volume of a cylinder. The answer is that it is right. It's just that you have to do the right calculation in order to get there. So now the Gemara does it. The Gemara doesn't have the advanced math that we just did. The Gemara always needs to break it down into its component parts. So it says, well, if the relationship is 4/3, so let's look at this. We have the cubic volume. We know if it had been squared out, it would have been 500 amot. So let's break it down. La'arba mea, if I took 400 of those amot, I get mea. And I get 100 mikvaot. Because the 400 drops by a third, which gets it down to 300. Right? 400 in a cube will equal 300 in a cylinder, 4/3. And then we know that 300 amot gets you 100 mikvaot, because 3 cubic amot is a mikveh. So if I take arba mea, I get 100 mikvaot. Lemea, if I take the additional 100 that makes up to get you to the 500 cubic amot of the cube, I take that mea and I drop it down by a third, which means that 75. I have 75 cubic amot. 100 cubic amot in a cube will equal 75 cubic amot in a cylinder. And so therefore, 75 divided by 3, esrim v'chamisha, is 25. Hani, mea v'esrim v'chamisha avalu. That's only 125 mikvot. You're short of the 150 mikvot that you wanted. You wanted 150 mikvot. Now, if you're telling me it's a cylinder, we can only fit in 125. If it's squared a cubic, we can get in 166 and 2/3 mikvot. And now, if it's a cylinder, we can only get in 125 mikvot, and you're looking for 150. Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Yam Shasa Shlomo, was Shloshamot Tachtonot Mirubaot. The base of the Yam was squared out. Ushtaim Elyonot Agulot. And the upper two Amot were cylindrical. So now, if you do that, you work out. The base is 3 Amot high by 10 by 10. 10 by 10 is 100 amot times 3 is 300 cubic amot. 300 cubic amot is 100 mikvaot. The upper part is cylindrical, is 2 amot high by 10 by 10. 10 by 10 is 100 times the 2 is 200, but we have to reduce it because that's a cubic calculation. You divide that by a third, and then you end up with 150. So you take 150 amot, and you divide by 3, you get 50 mikvot, and there's your 150 mikvot that fit into the Yam Shel Shlomo. So now the Gemara says, how do you know that that was? You can't say the opposite, because the Sfato Agul Saviv Ktiv. In the Pasuk it says that the rim was circular in nature. So you can't say that it was circular on the bottom, or cylindrical on the bottom, and cubic on the top, because it tells us that the rim was actually circular. Ela'im Achada. How do you know that the relationship was 3/2? How do you know it wasn't 4/1? How do you know how to divide up how much is cylindrical and how much is cubic? So the Gemara says, Lo saka datcho. That won't happen, dichtiv, because the end of the pasuk says, Alpayim bat yachil. It held 2,000 bat. 2,000 bat. Bat is a measurement. And bat, kamahavyo. How big is a bat? How much does it hold? Shlosh sa'im. 3 sa'a, dichtiv. Because it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Masar habat min akor. So the kor, 1/10 of a kor is a bat. Now here, the Gemara, if you go to Menachot, Daf Ayin Zayin in Menachot, there the Gemara does all these calculations based on the Sukim in Yechezkel. But basically, a bat equals an epha, and an epha is 1/10 of a kor, and so is a bat 1/10 of a kor. A kor we know is shloshim sa'ah. 30 sa'ah. So if a kor is 30 sa'ah, and a bat equals 1/10 of that, that means that a bat is 3 sa'ah. So now if a bat is 3 sa'ah, That means if it holds 2,000 baht in it, that's 2,000 times 3, it holds 6,000 sa'a. All right, now we know. Davalo shitalfe dirive, that is 6,000 sa'a inside of it. And 6,000 sa'a, how big is a mikveh? A mikveh is 40 sa'a. 6,000 divided by 40 is 150. So that's how we know that there were 150 mikvot inside of it. And that's how we know that the relationship has to be, the base is 3 cubic, and the top is 2 cylindrical, because that's the only way you get to 150 mikvot of volume contained within the yam. Vaktiv, the problem is that there's a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, which says, Machzik batim shloshet alafim. The pasuk there, which describing the yam, says that it holds 3,000 bat, not 2,000 bat. Gemara says, well, first of all, it's a problem for the Gemara as a whole, but it's all just a problem in the psukim. How do I reconcile the psukim? In one place it says 2,000 baht, and one place it says 3,000 baht. So Gemara says, how will the gucha? That has to do with the pylon. Amar Abaye, shmai mina, hai gucha tlatahavi. From that you see that the gucha, the pileup, is 1/3 more. What the Gemara here is discussing is the difference between dry goods and liquids. Liquids have to be contained within inside of the volume that you have there. They cannot exceed the volume except for the surface tension. They cannot exceed the volume there. So the volume is determined by whatever the volume of the item is. On the other hand, when you're dealing with dry goods can exceed the rim of whatever is there because you can pile them up on top and they can sit in a cone shape on top of whatever is there and they won't fall away because obviously they have a certain amount of tension that keeps them there as opposed to a liquid which does not have that tension. What is that calculation? So the Gemara here says it's 1/3. 1/3 is really a half in the Gemara. That means that it's 50% more. That means that whatever is volumetrically contained inside by in a liquid inside of this volume, you can add on 50% to that in volume of dry goods that sit on top. All right, we'll discuss that in 1 second. It's not Nami. We have a Mishnah that supports this. Shida, Teva, Omigdal. You have a box, a chest, a cupboard, kaveret akash, basket made out of straw, a kaveret akanim, a basket made out of kanim, out of reeds. Kaveret is used in the Gemara in different contexts. It's used to mean a honeycomb as well, a beehive. And here it probably means a basket or something that looks similar to a cone in some way. And ubor sfinat alexandrit, and a cistern on a boat to keep fresh water on the boat. Afu bisheishlam shulaim, even though they can sit on the ground and they are able to sit independently, and they hold 40 sa'a in liquids, which is equivalent to kuraim, two kur in dry goods, tohorim, which is a din that we've seen before, which is that there is, once you reach a certain size, that you cannot no longer move it. When it's full, it's not mekabel tuma. A kli, in order to be mekabel tuma, has to be movable. It's only movable if it can be moved, both when it's empty and it's full. The determination, the threshold for that is 40 sa'a b'lach. If it holds 40 sa'a worth of lach, which is the equivalent of a mikveh, then it cannot be carried. And since it can't be carried, it becomes as if it's affixed in place, and it's not mekabel tuma anymore. Even though you can move it, it's not mekabel tuma. That measurement is 40 sa'a in lach, which is equivalent of kuraim biyavesh. Kur is 30 sa'a. Kuraim would be 60 sa'a. It's 60 sa'a of yavesh. That means that the relationship between what fits in, 40 sa'a that fits in here, that of liquids would equate to 60 sa'a worth of solids. Now, Rashi points out what David asks right now. He says that you have to put in here, ukli, shigovo kechatzi arko, virachbo kamar kayam. It has to be a case where the height of the kli is half the length and width. Because the determining factor over here of what you can pile up on top has to do with how wide it is in relationship to how tall the kli is. So depending on how tall the kli is, the width will determine how much you can pile up. I mean, if it's a very narrow kli, then the volume, even though you have a large volume, you won't be able to pile very much up on top of it. So Rashi says that relationship has to be that the height is one half of the length and the width of this item. I'll just tell you that it's not so simple. We know that the volume of a cone is 1/3 pi r squared times the height. So that would mean that if you have a cylinder and you want to know how much excess you're going to get on top, so if the cylinder holds pi r squared, which is the area of the circle, times the height, pi r squared times the height. The Gemara is suggesting here that you want to get 50% more on top in this cone. But we know the volume of a cone is 1/3 of the volume of the cylinder. That means that the height of this cone has to exceed the height of the cylinder by 50%. That means in our case here, if it's 5 amot tall, that means that the cone on top has to be 7.5 amot tall, because 1/3 times 7.5 gives you 2.5 amot, times pi r squared, which will give you a 50% increase on the volume of the cylinder. And that's pretty hard. Just to say that you'd get a cone, meaning that you could stack it up 7.5 amot high on a cylinder that's only 5 amot high and 10 by 10 amot wide. I'm sure it can be done, depending on how wide, again, that it is in relationship to the height. But you have to know, in order to do this, you have to end up with a pile on top that is 50% higher than the depth of the cylinder. Anyway, it's possible to do it. I'm just saying that based on that, it's not so simple to get there. Okay, next Mishnah. L'chaim shamru, govan asarat tvachim. L'chaim that we talked about until now, the previous Mishnah talked about a korah. What's the size of a korah? Now we're talking about the size of a lechi. So the l'chaim that we spoke about, govan asarat tvachim, that'd be 10 tvachim high. Their width and their depth are any amount. They don't have, there's no measurement for that. Rabbi Yossi, we bumped into already. Rabbi Yossi says that a lechi has to be a minimum of 3 tfachim wide. Lechian, shamru, the Gemara says it starts with lechayim. Why is that? Let us say that our Mishnah is like B'Eliezer. We saw that B'Eliezer says when it machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel says O lechi O korah, Beit Shammai says lechi and korah, and B'Eliezer said shnei lechayim, that you need 2 lechis. So over here, the Mishnah starts out lechayim in plural. Sounds like they're supporting that position of B'Eliezer. Gemara says no. What does that mean? Damar lechayim be'inan, because it says that in plural. Lo. My lechayin, lechayin d'alma. Doesn't mean lechi, lechayin in this case. But in general, lechis, in general, require this amount. Rabbi says, that doesn't work so well, because he ochi, what about the previous Mishnah? The previous Mishnah said korah, and it wrote korah in the singular. So why don't you say over there, korah, korot, in the plural, just like you say lechi here in the plural? If it means in general, we're talking about general things, then the plural or the plurality should be used both by korah, and by lechi, yochi korah, I mean in the korot. So my korot, and what would korot mean? Korot da'alma. So then the fact that there's no consistency here means that there's a differentiation. The chayin over here is different than the korah over there, and that means that we're really talking about 2 lechis. So, Mar says, achi gemar, oton lechayin, shenechlo kuba'en, Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim, that was the chayin that Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim argue about, govan asarat tvachim, rachman v'ovyan koshu. So the answer is that this is an all-incorporating Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the lechayin that they argue about, this is the definition, or this is the measurements, dimensions of such a lechi. They're not coming to support any single position, they're just trying to say, according to all the positions, those lechayin that they're discussing, this is, or these are the measurements of those lechayin. V'kama koshuhu. And what is a koshuhu? As if koshu wasn't enough, what does it mean that it has to be a koshuhu? So Tani Rabbi Chiya of a Braita, afilu kuchuta sarbal, even the size of a string of a sarbal. Sarbal is a cloak, it's translated as a cloak. Rashi over here calls it a coat, which is interesting. Although in the French, the coat means like a tunic. It's a tunic of sort. It looks like it's the bow or the string to tie the top by the collar. That string is the kosho that we're talking about over here. Tana, asa lechi kechatzi mavui. He makes a lechi that's the half the size of the mavui. The lechi is not the length of the half of the mavoi, it's sitting at the halfway point of the mavoi, because we know that once a lechi reaches beyond a certain size, it becomes part of the mavoi, it becomes part of the wall. So a lechi that's situated in the middle of the mavoi, ain't no elochatzi mavoi. Then you can only use half the mavoi. Pshita. What do you mean? Of course. If a lechi is half the mavoi, you can only use up to the inner side of the lechi. The inner side of the lechi, that's half of the mavoi. When it says, ele'ema, yeshlo chetzi mavoi. Don't say it in the negative form that he can't use the other half of the mavoi. Say that he can use the first half of the mavoi. So hanami pshita. That's also simple. You can use up to the lechi. You have a lechi there. Why can't you use it? So madu teima lichosh doma ate lishtemushe v'kulei. What am I afraid of? Because the lechi is halfway through the mavoi. He might come to use the whole mavoi. Because who puts a lechi halfway through the mavoi? So kamash malon, that, it's okay. Because we don't worry about the fact that he put it halfway. That's the lechi. That's the determining point. We don't worry about the fact that he's going to say, oh, I should be able to go to the end. So a lechi that's situated in the middle of the mavoi, does it work? Can you carry until that point? The Havamim would have been no, because it's strange to have a lechi in the middle. The answer is yes, that you can do that. Amar Rav, asa lechi l'mavoi, v'gbio min hakarka shlosha. Make a lechi for the mavoi, but it's off 3 tfachim off the ground. O shifligo min hakotel shlosha, or it's more than 3 tfachim away from the wall. Lo asa v'lo klum. It has no bearing, it does not work. Afilu Rabbi Shimon Gamliel da'amar amin l'mavoi. Even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in this case, would say Lavud, because what's the shear of Lavud for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? It's 4 tfachim. So here it would work. Hani milid lemalo. That's only above. Aval lemato. Given to avya mechitza shekdim bokim balo tamar. Even Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel agrees that when you're more than three tefachim off the ground, that is not a mechitza, because the problem here is not lavud. The problem is gedi and bokimba. The fact that a gedi can get under it, a kid can get under it, that ruins the mechitza. And since that ruins the mechitza, it's irrelevant that it's lavud. Even though it's lavud and it's halachically close, the fact that a gedi goes under it is enough. So even though it's lavud from Shimon Gamliel, the fact that a gedi goes under it makes it a ois mechitza. It's not a mechitza anymore. Oh, so fligo min hakotel, no. So there, Rabbi Shimon would disagree. If the lechi is away from the wall, he would say that it's four tefachim instead of three tefachim. But there is an interesting shita that's brought down that here, one of the shitot says that even the lechi is outside of the mavoi. If it's less than three tefachim outside of the mavoi, then that is lavud, and it's considered as if it's at the end of the mavoi. So there's some shitot that I want to say here, based on Rava's statement, that the three tefachim applies even if the lechi is beyond the mavoi. As long as it's within three tefachim and the mavoi, it would function and it would be fine. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rachman Gimel Tefachim. I'm Rabbi Yossi, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmo. Ain halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, lo behilmi, v'lo belechayim. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, not in Hilmi, which is from the Gemara in Shabbat, mei melach, salt water, brine. Over there, Rabbi Yossi says you can't use brine, you can't put food into the brine on Shabbat. Here, the Gemara says the halacha is not like that statement of Rabbi Yossi. The halacha lechayin over here, which is you need a minimum of three tefachim. Amar le Ravuna bar Chinina behilmi amartlan, b'lechayin lo martlan. You told us the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi by hilmi, by the salt water, by the brine. But by lechayin, you never said that. You never told us that the halacha is not like him. Maishna behilmi to pligei Rabbanan ale. Why is hilmi any different than the Rabbanan argue? It's Rabbi Yossi a Yachid versus the Rabbim of the Rabbanan. The Chayinami pligi Rabbanan alei. So to over here, by the Chayin, it's him against the Rabbanan. It's a Yachid versus Rabbim. So why would you differentiate between Paskanim like him here and not by Hilmi? What's the difference? Because Rabbi holds like him, remember? Rabbi said before that you need Shtei Pasim by the Chatzer Gdola and the Chatzer Ktana. We said that Rabbi requires two pasim, requires an indentation, a piece of the wall to come in on both sides. The Gemara brings that chatzer ktana and that chatzer dola. We're talking about a 10 amah and an 11 amah chatzer. Why is there an 11 amah chatzer on the bigger one? So you can have three tefachim on each side. Why do you need three tefachim on each side? Because Rabbi subscribes to Rabbi Yossi that you need a minimum of three tefachim for a pasa for a lechi. And that's how you get these three tefachim over here. So that's why Rabbi is like Rabbi Yossi. We're going to pass him like him. Avruchumi matni hochi. He learned it this way. Amri v'udu b'rei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilat mishmei de Rav. Ein halacha Rabbi Yossi lo behilmi v'lo b'lechayim. Halacha is not like him, not in the salt water, not in the lechayim. Amrei amart. Did you really, really say that? Amrei lo, no. I didn't really say that. He didn't really say that. He backed away from it. So Amrei Rava elukim amra. V'grir alamine. He said it, and I learned it from him. Don't. He's backing away from his position now, but he really did say it. Umay tayyama kahadar bay. Why did he back away from it? Why did he back off his position? Mishom der Rabbiosi ni moku imo. Other places in Shatz it says tamov ni moku imo. That Rabbiosi was able to get to a great depth of understanding. And whenever he takes a position, his position is right because of his depth of understanding. So we give a lot of credence to Rabbiosi. Rabbiosi stam is Rabbiosi bar chalafto in Shatz. So Rabbiosi bar chalafto in general, we're going to pass an aloha like him. Because tamo v'nimoko imo, because he has a depth of understanding that gives his position extra weight, and then we're going to pass him like him. So based on that, we're going to pass him like Rabbi Yossi over here, even though he's a yochid. Samalei rava bar Rav Chanan on the Abaye hilchot amai. So what is the halacha now? Samalei pochazi mayam odover. Says go out and see what the people do. What's the minagam? So what do? They only put up a lechi mashu. So you see the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. So ike demat iloha. Some put it on this memra. Hashote maim litzam o. Person who drinks water because he's thirsty. Omer, the bracha rishona, he says, shakaho niye bit vero. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, borei nefasho rabot v'chesronan. Anko mashi birato. As the Amishman notes that these are extra, it's borei nefasho rabot v'chesronan would be sufficient. Over here, Rashi brings an interpretation, also in the Gemara and Brachot, I think Tosafot also brings the interpretation that they think that they're talking about the bracha achrona. Rashi rejects it, and it's pretty clear from the Gemara there, that the Gemara does not know Berei Nefashot as a bracha achrona. That is a later addition, that is not in the level of the Tanaim. There is no such thing as Berei Nefashot as a bracha achrona, only as a bracha rishona. And Rashi says that here as well. The machloket here is about a bracha rishona. The Amoraim later take statements of the Tanaim would say that afterwards, lo klum. You have to do nothing afterwards. And they say, make a borei nefashot. They fill in wherever the Tanaim said there's no bracha achrona. They filled it in and said borei nefashot. The only bracha achrona that the Tanaim know is birkat hamazon and bracha me'en shalosh. There is no other bracha achrona. The Amoraim later add in borei nefashot as a bracha achrona. So over here, they're arguing about the bracha rishona on drinking water for your thirst. Shako, a brei nefashot. Amrei Rav Chanan Abaye, hilchatamai, what's halacha? Amrei, pochazi mayam adover. Go see what people do. What do? They make a shako on the water, so the halacha is shako. Tosafot points out that when Abaye says, pochazi mayam adover, go see what they do. We see by lechi that they do a kosher. But what about hilmi? What's the din by hilmi? Tosafot says it's a kal v'chomer. The only argument that we had here was whether the lacha is like Rabbi Yossi by lechi or not by lechi. Everybody, even the people who say the lacha is like Rabbi Yossi by lechi, say the lacha is not like Rabbi Yossi by hilmi. So if I go out and I see the lacha is not like Rabbi Yossi by lechi, that means that the lacha is also not going to be like him by hilmi, and therefore the lacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in both of these instances. Okay, we'll stop over here.